Good afternoon. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. We're meeting in room 205 in the Capitol Building in the Budget Room. Committee members present are Senator Begich, Senator Costello, Senator Hughes, and myself, Senator Wilson. We have a quorum to do business. This afternoon, we'll hold an initial hearing on Senate Bill 67, the Nursing Licensure Multi-State Compact, sponsored by the Senate Rules Committee on behalf of the Governor. Today we'll take an overview of the bill, take invited testimony, and we'll begin taking public testimony on Thursday. Here to present the bill, we have the Commissioner Anderson from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, and we also have Director Chambers from the Division of Corporation Businesses and Professional Licenses. The following individuals also are online to answer questions. We have the chair of the Board of Nursing, I'm going to mispronounce your name. I'm so sorry, Danette. We also have Tammy Perro, the U.S. Northwest Regional Liaison from the Department of Defense. We have the Chief Nursing Officer from Bartlett Hospital. We also have a couple of other folks from Phineas, Kidney Healthcare RN nurse there. And we also have the National Council of State Boards of Nursing. And with that, I believe we're going to start off with Commissioner Anderson. And as Commissioner Anderson and Director Chambers go back and forth, if you can remember to restate your name for the record so those following online can understand who's talking. And just tell us, we also have our trustee committee aide, Ms. Simpson, who recently had a birthday here. And she is a prime number this year. And so if you can let her know what slides you're on so we can all follow along, and these slides are also uploaded and on basis as well. With that, the floor is yours, Ms. Anderson.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Wilson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Julie Anderson, Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I am here to introduce Senate Bill 67, which will allow Alaska to become part of the Nurse Licensure Compact. I will not be using slides when I turn this presentation over to Director Chambers, then we will begin with the slides. So I would like to take a moment to highlight why this legislation is so important to Alaska. And then as I stated, I'll hand it over to Director Chambers. Senate Bill 67 is a pro-healthcare, pro-military, bipartisan piece of legislation. By joining the Nurse Licensure...
Good afternoon. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. The video just popped on. By joining the Nurse Licensure Compact, this allows registered and practical nurses to practice in any of the participating states through a multi-state license. The standards to obtain a multi-state license are very high. And as we all know, there are hundreds of nursing vacancies throughout Alaska, and projections show that the vacancy rate will only increase over the next decade. It's important to note the Board of Nursing will retain full regulatory authority over nurses practicing in the state. And Alaskan nurses and healthcare facilities across the state support this legislation, as does the U.S. Department of Defense, from whom you will hear today. The military has clearly stated that license reciprocity for military spouses is a key factor in basing decisions. And nursing is one of the most common professions held by military spouses, as well as one of the most recommended professions for military spouses to obtain. Enacting the Nurse Licensure Compact in Alaska will not only improve Alaskans' access to health care and allow mobility for Alaskan nurses, but will also increase economic opportunities for our state through potential military expansion. Our team did a wonderful job handling the hundreds of applications for new nurse licenses that were necessary once COVID-19 hit Alaska. But had the Nurse Licensure Compact been in place at that time, the response efforts could have been quicker and more cost-effective for all parties involved. We see this legislation as a win-win for Alaska, and if you have any concerns about the bill, I ask that you ask about those today or schedule a meeting with our department to discuss them further And with that, I'd like to hand the presentation over to Director Chambers.
And before you thank you, Commissioner Anderson. I just, before you hand it off to Director Chambers, just want to put on the record that we were joined by Senator Reinbold moments ago.
All right. Thank you. Director Chambers?
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sarah Chambers, and I'm the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. The bill before you would allow Alaska nurses to join the Nurse Licensure Compact, which is a voluntary multi-state agreement that allows highly qualified practical and registered nurses to practice nursing in any member jurisdiction. While becoming a member of the Nurse Licensure Compact, or NLC, as I'll refer to it, has its benefits, it's especially timely for Alaska because it solves several problems that we currently face. We'll go on to slide two. First, the NLC eliminates additional costs, delays, and bureaucracy from the delivery of healthcare services. The purpose of occupational licensure is to ensure that individuals meet minimal jurisdictional requirements to perform a professional service. State law requires individuals to provide proof that they have a certain level of education, have completed a particular course of training, have passed an exam, or hold an unencumbered license in another location. To meet the state's requirements to practice a profession, licensing takes time, money, and a lot of paperwork. In Alaska, an initial nursing license can cost up to $500 and take many weeks to complete. During this time, the applicant is unable to work as a nurse in the state. Not only does the nurse lose income, but the hospital or clinic is unable to provide a certain level of care to its patients while the position goes unfilled. Second, when emergencies like an earthquake or a pandemic affect the state, the demand for nurses goes up, creating additional delays in processing licenses and delaying the delivery of health care even longer. When we need nurses the most, they are more difficult to obtain. And third, failure to participate in the NLC affects our military communities and has an additional detrimental economic impact on the state. As the commissioner mentioned, even when our healthcare system is not facing a crisis, nurses need to be able to get to work. The U.S. Department of Defense recognizes the difficulty that military families face when transitioning locations and has declared that economic decisions such as base location and expansion will rely heavily on state policies toward military spouse employment. The NLC is considered the gold standard in licensing reciprocity. Next slide. Alaska's ability to keep up with the demand for health care has been at crisis levels even before the rescue plane from Wuhan, China landed in Anchorage, marking the start of Alaska's COVID saga. To illustrate the baseline shortage, the Alaska Hospital and Nursing Home Association reported 670 vacancies in nursing positions in 2019. Even pre-COVID, across the state, there are not enough skilled nurses to meet Alaska's health care needs. Since July 2020, the Alaska Board of Nursing has issued 324 emergency courtesy licenses to try and keep up with the COVID pandemic. This type of license was created by emergency regulations by the board last year, and it represents the additional help needed just to keep up with the crisis. Looking ahead, the Bureau of Health Workforce estimates that Alaska will need 23% more nurses by 2030. That's 5,400 more registered nurses when we already have vacancies for nearly 700 nurses in the best of times. And as an additional measure of concern, RN and APRN licenses expire this Sunday in Alaska, and only 25% of nurses, which is more than 4,500 nurses, have not renewed their licenses and will not be able to report for work on Monday. Next slide. So what is the Nurse Licensure Compact and what does it do? The NLC is a voluntary agreement among state legislatures that sets high mutual standards for nurses who wish to receive a multi-state license. The multi-state license is optional for resident nurses, but holding one allows the nurse to work in any member state without having to apply for licensure each time. Each state board of nursing retains authority over the practice of nursing in their state. The practice standards don't change. Violations of practice standards prohibit offenders from further practice in the state, and any violation is reported to the home state board of nursing for disciplinary action. As mentioned previously, healthcare vacancies can be filled quickly and at little expense to the facility, the nurse, or the state government. Patient needs can be met more quickly with far fewer hoops to jump through. In addition to meeting our healthcare needs, the multi-state license is attractive to Alaska nurses. Holding a multi-state license allows nurses to work in member jurisdictions, which is also attractive to graduates of Alaska nursing programs who are leaving the state because we do not offer this automatic reciprocity. So far, 35 states and territories have adopted the NLC, and another 11 have introduced legislation to join. This is one more participant than shown in the slide because the NLC was approved by the Guam legislature just this week. Next slide.
Before you go on to the next slide, Director Chambers, do you have a question? Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm actually referencing back to a previous slide where you said since April or July, 324 emergency courtesy nursing licenses were issued. Were of those 324, how many were coming from out of state?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, thank you. All of those would be coming from out of state.
Okay, thank you.
And Director Chambers, do you know how many nurses were expedited through the graduate programs through the UA system?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, you were cutting out, and I couldn't understand what your question was.
I'm sorry. Do you know the number of nurses that were expedited out of the nursing program during that time period?
Graduates from the nursing program?
Yes. My understanding was that they were able to cut short their schooling and graduated early to help fight the pandemic. Do you know that number?
Mr. Chairman, no, I don't have that number, but we'll be glad to follow up with the committee with that information.
All right, thank you. I'm going on to slide number five.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The benefits to joining the Nurse Licensure Compact are many, both in times of peace and in times when our healthcare system is stressed. If Alaska had joined the NLC when legislation was introduced in January 2020, expenses to healthcare facilities, private individuals, and state government could have been reduced. Treatment could have been provided timely, and Alaska's nurses would not have had to bear the great burden they felt during the COVID surge last fall. An Anchorage Daily News article from November 28th captured the desperation and burnout faced by Alaska nurses during the height of the surge. In the article, the labor representative for the Alaska Nursing Association urged administrators to do more to increase nurse numbers. The NLC is one of the tools that facilities need most in their employment toolbox. Next slide. As with any change in legislation, the details are critically important. First, let's be clear that the requirements to obtain a multi-state license are rigorous and exceed the current standards under Alaska law. This is a higher standard than we currently have in our state. Second, the Alaska Board of Nursing retains jurisdiction to oversee and enforce nursing practice in Alaska. The board does not lose any ability to defend the public's right to a safe nursing workforce. Third, by joining, Alaska would have a vote on the Nurse Licensure Compact Commission, and multi-state license fees will pay for their own program expenses. A single-state Alaska license will continue to function as it currently does, also covering its own cost and not those of the multi-state licensing program. The last major detail is perhaps the most important. The standards enacted in the NLC cannot be changed without the agreement of the Alaska State Legislature. The NLC is not a bait and switch. It is a contract among state leaders. Next slide.
We have a question here. Senator Begich.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Director, one of the questions we talked about in the past was, of course, if you come from a state that's a member of the compact and you have a license already, you've mentioned to me in our conversations that the criteria, and you say that in your second point here on this slide number six, or it's the first one, that the NLC requirements to obtain a multi-license are rigorous and exceed the current standards under Alaska law. But if you qualified in a state that had lower standards, are you grandfathered in to the LNC? In other words, if you earlier in data that we were presented, it was indicated that if you were already in the NLC before the requirements were raised from a different state, I don't know what state has lower standards, but would you be grandfathered into the LNC and not have to meet the current high standards in the NLC? Could you address that?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, there is no grandfathering in this agreement. All states have to meet the same standards, and there was a previous, several years ago, first attempt at a compact that didn't have that same level of agreement, and so it was abandoned, and states are having to, through their state legislatures, agree to these same standards. It's common language across all states, and there is no one who will hold a multi-state license who does not meet these same high standards.
And to just follow up, and that, isn't that why Pennsylvania went ahead and endorsed the standard this year? Was it this year or last year?
Through the chair, yes. There was at least one state that that had been working from the past nurse licensure compact language and finally is working to rejoin again because their legislature would finally agree to those higher standards. There have been states who would not join the original compact, but who are determining that now is the time since some of these problems with the old one have been addressed.
Thank you for that, and I'll have a few other questions a little later on, but right now I just wanted to make sure in context we addressed that one.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? All right, seeing none, moving on to slide 7. Director Chambers.
Thank you. So as you can see, the benefits of Alaska entering into the Nurse Licensure Compact are many. Reducing costs, expediting healthcare services, increasing healthcare options, making Alaska nursing jobs more attractive, increasing opportunities for military economic drivers, and easing the burden on military families. Next slide. So this slide illustrates the requirements for multi-state licensure under the NLC and how they exceed Alaska's current standards. While the Alaska Board has flexibility to consider past civil or criminal violations, the multi-state license has zero tolerance for risk to public safety. Because the multi-state license is voluntary, Alaska nurses would not be required to meet these standards and can keep a single state license under Alaska law. But any nurse who holds a multi-state license would be subject to this rigorous level of scrutiny. And I think that follows up on Senator Begich's question. Next slide. Although holding a multi-state license would be optional if Alaska entered the compact, it's clear that Alaska nurses overwhelmingly want the opportunity to make that decision. In a December 2019 survey, 92% of Alaska-licensed respondents said they support Alaska joining the NLC. 89% of these respondents have primary residency in Alaska, and 87% of supporters of the NLC are members of a nursing union. So you can see the NLC is good for our residents, good for our workforce, and Alaska nurses want to have this employment option. Next slide.
Yes.
Among?
Senator Begich.
Just a real quick question here, Director Chambers. I like seeing survey results, always good to see that many responses as well. Has the union, any of the unions themselves, responded to you directly in support of the legislation?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, we've not been in touch with the union this year on this particular bill.
Thank you for that answer.
And which union are we referring to, Ms. Chambers? There's several nursing unions across the state.
Mr. Mr. Chairman, I apologize. You were cutting out again, and I couldn't understand what was being said.
I'm sorry. Which nursing union are we referring to? Because there are several unions around the state, and we have a state union, we have hospitals have different nursing unions. Which one in particular are we referring to?
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator Begich. I was asking about any of them.
Okay.
And so my question to Director Chambers was, had there been any contact? And she's indicated, not any contact, but any letters of support from those unions. And she's indicated on the record that there aren't any, but because they haven't had contact, I think is what she's saying. But perhaps, Director Chambers, you could answer that.
Mr. Chairman, yes, this is Sarah Chambers, and we have not been in contact with any of the unions of any type, any labor unions on the Nurse Licensure Compact this year. Last year, there was one union that represents a fraction of nurses, the Alaska Nurses Association, that had some concerns about the legislation that was proposed, and we were able to address all of those concerns with them and in hearings, and are happy to do that again if those concerns are raised. I think many of those are being raised in this presentation right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I misstated the way I meant to ask the question. My question is, have you received any opposition from any of those unions? And the answer I'm hearing is no, you have not. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, no, we have not.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sarah, what percentage of the total nurse population in Alaska responded to the survey?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, on slide number 9, if my math is correct, this is about 22% of nurses responded, and a standard response to a survey, if you can get 2 or 3%, you're doing pretty well. So we received about 22% of the responses. We surveyed over 16,000 and received over 3,500 responses from nurses.
Oh. All right. Thank you. On slide 10.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along the list of supporters, which is growing daily, are economic development organizations, military stakeholders, and healthcare providers. This is just a partial list of Alaska groups supporting the NLC. The list of national supporters is much longer and is available as a link from the Alaska Board of Nursing's NLC webpage. Next slide. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on behalf of Commissioner Anderson, the State Board of Nursing, and Alaska's nurses, thank you for the opportunity to present this legislation. I ask for your support in its passage this spring. That completes my presentation.
Yes, before we go into further questions, we'll take a brief at ease here. All right, we're back on the record. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I first wanted to just take a moment to thank Legislative Liaison Hoskinson and Director Chambers for meeting with me and helping me go through some of the concerns I expressed last year when a similar bill was before us. And I just had one question from last year that I wanted to ask. Most of the other questions I'd saved were answered in the presentation. And that was just, I wanted to go over again, you know, your interest and my interest, I think, are fundamentally the same, that we want to ensure that Alaskans are safe, getting the highest level of care, and it appears as though the compact has a high level of care for those who are in it. But there is an economic impact on the state, potentially, because the $500 license doesn't come in to your department and to the, which is, I think, passed on to the Board of Nursing. So I can't remember the answer from last year, and so I'm asking the question again, which is, how do we address the bill's impact on the funding of the Board of Nursing? And if you could just walk me through that a little bit, and then I have one other question after that.
Through the chair, Senator Begich, so it's an excellent question, and I think it's important to all of us. So as you may know, right now all of our professional licensing programs are self-funding. State law, AS0801065, requires license fees to fund all aspects of our programs. So right now we have single state licenses. We have Alaska licenses. And as we see the funding come in to cover the cost for single state licenses right now, we will see that similar funding come in to cover our multi-state license applications. So we're just shifting a fee over to a different type of license. So if you would like a single state, if you'd like just an Alaska license, you'll pay the licensing fee as you do now. If you want a multi-state license and you're in Alaska, you'll pay that fee. This obviously is a fundamental question that many, many states have had, as the 35 states and territories that have joined have had to answer, and none of them have seen an economic downturn because of the shift in cost. We are very committed to making sure that the entering into the NLC does not have a detrimental impact on any of our other license types that are nursing licenses that are covered within Alaska's jurisdiction. So that is something that that we feel strongly about, and we will continue to follow state law in ensuring that those licenses pay for themselves.
So the fee here you indicate on slide two is an initial Alaska nurse license can cost over $500. And what is the cost of the compact license?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, yes, so the $500 is sort of the ceiling for a new nurse license, a new RN license, and that takes into account several costs, whether it's the license itself, the application cost, fingerprinting, whether someone wants to get a temporary license while they're awaiting their permanent license. So those are the current costs for a new license. The multi-state license will be set by our Alaska board and our department. So we will use the same economic fee setting structure that we do now to determine what that license cost is for Alaska. There is not a national cost that people that licensees pay that is set at the state level.
Senator? Just to follow up, the reason I ask is you list that as a reason for a problem that the NLC will solve, but what I'm hearing is you don't have a set amount for that new license or what that would be, but is it reasonable to assume it would probably be close to the same $500 amount given, fingerprinting and all the same factors?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, it's highly likely. We have to take into account a lot of factors when we're setting fees, and one is the forecast of how many nurses would want to engage in the multi-state license. So we will have to do that math once the legislature adopts the NLC, and we do that through a public regulations process. So we don't know what that would be, but it should be about the same as a regular license because a lot of those processes are very similar. The saving of the $500 is something that happens when people already hold a multi-state license and want to come into Alaska to work, or when Alaskans want to use their multi-state license to work outside the state if they're going down to Arizona for 6 months, or if they're a nursing graduate who wants to, get some specialty experience in another state. They only are paying that fee one time. They do not have to keep accumulating licenses and paying that fee, going through the waiting period, filling out all of the paperwork every time they work in a particular state. So there, for people entering the multi-state license for the first time, there is a fee, and that goes to that state. So Alaskans would pay that to Alaska. And then beyond that, they use that multi-state license for that licensing period in any state that's a member.
Just a yes or no clarification on that then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it really should say an initial Alaska nurse license can cost over $500 for those already holding a multi-state license. And consequently, if you already hold a multi-state license, you likely would not pay an Alaska, any kind of Alaska license fee. Is that right?
Through the chair, yes, that's correct.
I have a question from Senator Costello, followed by Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there exists a federal law that says that if a nurse changes facilities, even within the same state, so if they go from employment at one hospital to employment at another in the same state or in a different state, that they are responsible for getting a new set of fingerprints processed. Could you please explain to the committee who would be paying for the fingerprinting that's required by federal law for those nurses that come from out of state who would then travel here to take a position that would then trigger that requirement?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, this agency and the Board of Nursing is only responsible for state licensing, and we are not responsible for employment-related fingerprinting. So yes, in healthcare facilities, often you have to get multiple sets of fingerprints because federal law prohibits sharing that information and sharing fingerprinting. So if someone is required to be fingerprinted for their employment, that is between them and their employer.
Senator Cassell.
Follow-up comment. So we know that in the governor's disaster declaration, he asked for a six-month time period where fingerprinting doesn't have to be done for those people coming in to work in the nursing profession. It sounds to me that the argument that this would make things quicker to bring nurses on more quickly, actually, I think we need to learn about the fingerprinting process, because if there's going to be a delay in processing those fingerprints anyway, then the argument being made that this will allow us to quickly get nurses, on the front lines, I'm not sure is accurate.
Through the chair, Senator Costello, I think they're different topics and they're different types of fingerprinting. We actually were able to utilize, as a licensing agency, we were able to utilize the provision that was in the legislature's SB 241 and then carried through the governor's health orders when fingerprinters were not doing in-person fingerprinting. There were, because of COVID, they were also social distancing, and it was very hard to get hand-rolled fingerprints. So we worked through the National Fingerprinting Compact to get that sort of grace period to do name-only checks, and then we followed up with fingerprints later. And so we're actually not seeing delays in fingerprinting at this time, either in our agency or with private in private industry.
Thank you. Senator Hughes, followed by Senator Reinbold.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did not hear this bill previously, so I'm going to backpedal a little bit. And I have a couple of questions that aren't necessarily related, Mr. Chair. Is that okay? Okay, so first thing I want to understand, because we have a shortage here, I think it was a shortage of 670 or so spots in 2019. Is there a national shortage of nurses?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, it really depends on the state. As we're seeing, many states have an increase in the age of their population and an increase in numbers of population, the nursing needs are increasing. There is a study that I referenced that we can certainly follow up with the committee with more information. There are certain states that are projected to have a surplus of nurses, and there are certain states that are projected to have a deficit of nurses. So it's a little bit nuanced, but it really depends on that location's age and availability.
Senator Hughes?
Thank you for kind of giving us that landscape. I appreciate that. I know our university is working hard to try to fill those gaps as they can. So, Mr. Chair, I have another unrelated question. And is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and maybe I missed this when you were talking with Senator Begich, but if a nurse, an Alaskan nurse, if they want to be part of the compact, do they have to have both the Alaska license and the multi-pack multi-state license, or would they just get the multi-state license and they'd be good to go for working in Alaska as well?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, they would only need the multi-state license because that would get, that would be their path to all of the states, including Alaska.
Okay, thank you. And one more.
Yes, Senator Hughes.
Again, if I miss this, I'm sorry, but I was reading in the bill summary, and the enforcement by the nursing board would continue, and so would that only continue for Alaska nurses who have, whether they have Alaska state license or a multi-state license, or would that nursing board have jurisdiction over matters when an out-of-state nurse comes under a multi-state license and does something wrong here and there needs to be action taken?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, that's a really important question, and I'm glad you asked for clarification on it. So the Alaska Board of Nursing would retain jurisdiction over all of the Alaska licensed, including multi-state licensed nurses whose home state was Alaska, and the practice of nursing that occurs in Alaska. So that would include any of the multi-state licensees who are practicing on Alaskans in Alaska, or people in Alaska, in the location where it's where the service is delivered. So if someone who held a multi-state license who was not an Alaskan came up and did something that would violate our state statutes or regulations, any of the myriad reasons why someone could violate the Nursing Practice Act, then our Board of Nursing would have a responsibility under the compact to take action to prohibit that person from continuing to practice in the state. And they would also have to report that violation to the compact commission, who administers the multi-state license, and then the commission reports that to the home state, and their multi-state license is suspended in all states until that person, until it's unencumbered again. So let's say a person violates a law or a regulation, does something wrong, and they get fined or they get put on probation for a certain amount of time, that suspends their multi-state license in all states until that's cleared up, until that person sort of pays their debt, as that Board of Nursing says. So it really maintains the same level of governance over anyone practicing nursing in the state who holds either an Alaska or a multi-state license.
And just a comment and I'll be done. That's really helpful, Ms. Chambers, because although I'd never heard this in committee last year, I was hearing misinformation circulating in that regard, that the nursing board would not have that jurisdiction. So that's really helpful. Thank you.
Senator Reinbold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I just have a few questions, and I'm sorry, it's a few minutes late. But basically what I apologize if I missed this as well. I know Senator Hughes said similar. But bottom line is, have you guys furloughed any nurse practitioners, any nurses, any assistant nurses, or anything with all the COVID? Because I know our unemployment numbers are really, really high, so I just, the whole thing causes me pause. I want to look into who's furloughed or who's unemployed, you know, at this point in time with nurses before we kind of reach out and get people from outside.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, the Board of Nursing doesn't employ nurses. We just license them, and so employment numbers would need to come from healthcare facilities and actual nursing employers.
Senator Reinbold?
Yeah, so I think we need to get those numbers before we even, I mean, me personally, before we even, you know, engage in this discussion in regards to this bill, because I want to know if we already have a surplus anywhere around the state of any type of nurse assistants, nurses, nurse practitioners, et cetera. I just think it's really important for local hire, and Alaska's first.
We do have
through the chair. Senator Reinbold, you may have come in after the slide that showed that ASHNA had done a survey in 2019 that indicated that there were 670 nursing vacancies in Alaska existing prior to COVID, and then we issued another 400 emergency, almost 400 emergency licenses during COVID. So the numbers show that it's heading in the other direction.
Through the chair.
Yes, and we do have someone on the line from ASHNA that might be able to provide some of those statistics that you're looking for, Sandra. Sandra Reinbold.
Thank you. That would be really, really helpful because I just want to make sure because I've heard a ton of them have been gotten laid off and offices are closing and some clinics are closing and things like that. So I just think it's super, super important to look at the landscape of really who's already out there before we make any significant changes.
All right. We do have a Rose Lawhorn. If you're on the line, I didn't know if you heard Sandra Reinbold's question on sort of staffing situations at facilities around the state. Did not know if you had any comments that you would like to add.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Rose Lawhorn, and I represent ASHNA and Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau today. And we do have multiple nurses working in various environments, and I am not aware at this time of any furloughed nurses who, particularly in our area in Southeast, who were not repurposed in other jobs. I know at Bartlett Hospital, we worked very hard to provide employment to nurses whose jobs were temporarily suspended related to the pandemic. There is training that needs to be in place prior to repurposing a nurse from one area to another. So we do have the same licensure requirements, but then there are specialty certifications before a nurse can work safely in specialty areas. So throughout the state, I am not aware, and speaking with my colleagues from the facilities up in Anchorage, the facilities worked very hard to allow and provide employment to nurses whose jobs were affected by the pandemic.
All right, Senator Reinbold.
And through the chair, you know, I am not disputing, you know, what they're saying. I'm just saying I would like to look at the unemployment numbers and look at, a checks and balances, like you guys know that I love to do, and just make sure that there are not any assistant nurses, nurse practitioners, you know, things like that, just to make sure, because I'm the same way with educators. I don't like bringing a bunch of educators in from the outside because they usually don't do well in the bush and things like that, and I love to homegrown Alaskans, and I prefer Alaska preference. So that I just want people to know where my heart is.
Thank you. We have Senator Begich, followed by Senator Costello, followed by Senator Hughes.
My question relates, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Director, to the bill on page 26.
Do you want to wait till we get to the sectional there?
Mine was for Rose Lawhorn.
It's a simple question. Relates to the issue of indemnity. I can wait to the sectional if you prefer, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to wait.
Okay.
I'll wait till the sectional. Yes, but that'll give you a heads up. I'm looking at page 26.
Senator Casella.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose, for taking time out of, I'm sure, what is a busy schedule to be in front of this committee. I appreciate that. My question is about the nurse hotline that I'm aware of, where if you are a nurse in Alaska and you wish to help administer the COVID vaccine, you can call into a hotline and be put in a line in order to help out with the situation that we're facing in Alaska. So I'm wondering, are you aware of that hotline? And if you are, do you know how many nurses are still waiting to be called to assist with administering the vaccine who've called into that hotline?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, this is Sarah Chambers again, and it sounds like something that would the hotline would be administered by the Department of Health and Social Services, and so the Board of Nursing is not engaged in that hotline, but we can put that on our list of information to find out and report back to the committee.
Thank you. And Rose, if you're still online, I believe Sandra Hughes has a question for you.
Actually, I have a comment. I want to say hello to Rose because I was her first and I think second grade teacher, and I'm very proud in the role she now has at Bartlett, and her dad perform my wedding ceremony about 42 years ago. So just hello to Rose.
All right. Thank you. Director Chambers, if you can do a sexual summary, and if you heard Sandra Beggett's question, if you want to get to that when that...
I didn't ask it yet.
Okay. If you can just take some pauses after each sectional so we can interrupt you if there is a question that comes up during that time period. If you want to begin, Director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am happy to do that. And I want to point out before going through a sectional of a 30-plus page bill that there are sections 1 through 22 and sections 24 through 36 are all conforming amendments to recognize the addition of AS0869, the multi-state nurse licensure compact section, which is in section 23. So if it's acceptable to you in the committee, I'd like to go through the sectional for the new parts of law, which would establish the compact, and then just recognize that the rest of the pages are conforming amendments.
Okay. That will be fine.
Great. Thank you so much. So I'll be focusing on Section 23, and please do interrupt if you have questions. I'll pause after each article. So Section 23 creates AS0869, the Multi-State Nurse Licensure Compact in Alaska. These articles are uniform to all states within the compact and are mandatory for participation. So Section 23 is not flexible language. All states have to agree to it if they want to adopt the compact in their state. So Article 1 establishes the legislature's finding of the need for the compact and its declaration of the compact's purpose in Alaska. Article 2 establishes the definitions and terminology for use in this section, 0869. Article 3 establishes the general provisions for multi-state licensure that are common across all participating states. So it clarifies that partner states have jurisdiction to take adverse action against multi-state licensure privilege, and it requires states to notify the administrator of the coordinated licensure system when adverse action against a multi-state license occurs. And that speaks to Senator Hughes' previous question. This article also enforces that a nurse practicing in a partner state must comply with the practice laws of the state in which the client is located at the time the service is provided. So again, they must adhere to that state's particular practice act. In addition, it clarifies that nothing in the compact shall affect the requirements established by a partner state for the issuance of a single state license. So they're completely separate. Article 4 creates uniform standards for applications for multi-state licensure. Article 5 provides licensing boards with the power to take action against a nurse's privilege to practice in that partner state, to complete pending investigations of a nurse who changes primary residency, and to report those actions to the administrator of the coordinated licensure system, to obtain and submit fingerprints to the FBI for criminal background checks, and to use those results for the purpose of licensure. If permitted by state law, to recover from the affected nurse the cost of investigations and the disposition of cases resulting from adverse action taken against that nurse, and to deactivate the multi-state privilege if adverse action is taken in the home state until such time that all encumbrances are removed from the license. Again, speaking to Senator Hughes' previous question. Article 6 establishes the rules for a coordinated licensure information system and provides for exchange of information among partner states, including provisions for ensuring the privacy of information contained in that system. Article 7 creates the Interstate Commission of Nurse License Compact Administrators, which is the body overseeing the function of the multi-state license. Now, this is not the body that's issuing the license, which goes through the board. It's overseeing the rules that help it function similarly across all states. So each state has one nurse license compact administrator who is a voting member of the commission. With few exceptions as allowed by law, similar to the Alaska Open Meetings Act, meetings will be open to the public and publicly noticed, and meetings held in executive session will be noticed, will be publicly noticed, and the cause for a closed meeting will be stated and all resulting actions taken in public, similar to our state law. The article also confers certain administrative powers to the commission which do not impinge upon the sovereignty of partner states. And I'm wondering if Senator Begich has his question at this point, because I believe it was under Article 7.
Yes, Senator Begich.
It is under Article 7. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Director Chambers, what I'm looking at, I just want to get clarification on Sections 2 and 3 on page 26 of the indemnity defense and indemnification immunity, qualified immunity. If these subsections direct the commission to indemnify administrators, officers, executive directors, employees, or any representatives of the commission from civil action or settlement or judgments from alleged or actual errors or omissions. Pretty standard language. But my question is Alaska then liable potentially? Were the commission unable to, or were the commission to pass down fines or settlements, could they do so to individual compact states?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, I'd like the opportunity to explore that question a little bit further with the Department of Law. This indemnification language is somewhat similar to our board members who currently have this type of role in our state, where if they are acting within the reasonable scope of state law, that they are also held protected by Alaska state law and not held personally responsible. And this language reads to me to be very similar to that. But if that pleases the committee, I'd like to be able to get a more legal response for you.
A simple response like that from the Department of Law would be satisfactory. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, please continue, Director.
Moving on to Article 8. It establishes a transparent and public rulemaking process to carry out the powers that are in the previous article. Article 9 establishes the agreement for oversight, dispute resolution, and enforcement of the compact itself. Article 10 sets an effective date for the compact, the process for a state legislature's withdrawal from the compact, and the process of amendment of the compact through statutory changes in each member state. Again, the state legislature having that power alone to control whether Alaska is a part of this agreement or not. And then lastly, Article 11 of Section 23 reinforces the primacy of the constitutions of each party state and codifies additional interpretation of the construction and severability of the compact. The remaining sections, as I mentioned, 24 through 36 are all conforming, adding AS 0869 to various areas in state law. Section 37 adds a transition, allowing the department and the board to adopt regulations necessary to implement changes so they're ready to go when the law becomes effective. Section 38 then says that can be, Section 37 takes effect once the bill is signed, and then lastly, the intent is for this legislation to go into effect January 1 of 2022. So with that, Mr. Chairman, completes my sectional. I'm happy to answer any additional questions.
Yes, thank you, Director. I do have a question before we go to Senator Begich on auditing. Do you feel that having this compact in place with a different setup would create any obstacles for our state auditor to complete their functions?
Mr. Chairman, that's a great question, and no, I don't think it will, because this compact and its agreements would be in Alaska state law, and therefore they would fall under the jurisdiction of the auditor to be able to do perform the same fiduciary responsibilities and have access to the same information that they do now.
All right, thank you. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Chambers, generally this has been a very thorough overview, and it's given me a greater idea than last year over what the compact does. And I very much appreciate both that and the earlier conversations that we've had. Just you mentioned something in passing about the expiration of licenses all on the same day. And you mentioned this coming Sunday. Did I hear you wrong? Is there a particular date that a bunch of these licenses expire, our current nursing licenses?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, yes. All of our Alaska licenses and all of our professions are two-year licenses, and they expire. Each profession expires on the same date, and that allows us efficiency in helping licensees to know when that date is, since they share the date, and to prepare to send them letters, to send them emails, to it really helps streamline our processes. So, yes, all professional licenses in each particular category expire on the same date. That is a two-year period.
Senator Begich?
Yeah, just a follow-up, I guess, comment, which is I recognize that that might be good for notification, but for the actual approval of these processes, my guess is that creates a huge crunch on your staff, and I didn't know that. So we could stand in any given two-year period on a particular weekend, we could end up losing, as you mentioned, up to 23% of our nurses. Is that what I heard you say earlier today?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, I appreciate how that might sound. We do start the process more than 3 months ahead of time, making the renewal documents. We have an all online renewal. People can file a paper renewal if they want to, but they do also in all professions have the opportunity to renew their license online. Renewal is a lot less onerous than initial application, and so our nurses, as all of our professions, have had several months. Nurses have had at least 5 months now to renew their licenses, and the mention of that data point is just interesting because it speaks to the number of nurses who apparently do not intend to renew their licenses because they have had plenty of opportunity to do so now at this point. And so we do look to our system to be efficient, to keep our staffing numbers low, to help it be a process that is in front of all nurses, so all the facilities, all nurses know when those licenses expire and they can get on that. It also helps our fees to be consistent and keep costs lower than they might otherwise be. We're always open to ideas and opportunities for improvement, but this has seemed to be the process that works best for everyone, and no nurse has gone unaware that their license is expiring on Sunday.
Mr. Chair, my last comment on that would be just to say that, of course, we've been in extraordinary times with tremendous burden on the health system. We've demanded extraordinary actions by our nurses and other medical practitioners. So I would hope that there might be some effort at assessing that 23% and maybe determining if it's simply a matter of time more than anything else. My suggestion would be just courtesy in perhaps being a little more lenient in this particular expiration period. That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hughes.
Yes, I was wondering if, and perhaps we have it, and I just don't have it in my notebook, the overview by article that Ms. Chambers, that you read, if you haven't provided that, if we could get a copy of it, because we have the more detailed sectional. And that's just a comment. And then I do have a question, and you may need to follow up on this, because I'm curious, other states that have entered into the compact that have had a shortage of nurses, what has happened with their in-state nurses as far as, for instance, we have 670 openings apparently, and we're graduating nurses from our university system. And if we were to do this and we were to be bringing out-of-state folks with multi-state licenses, I'm just wondering if there would still be plenty of openings for our own nurses. And also I was wondering how that might impact salaries. I'm assuming that a hospital, for example, wouldn't be paying less to a out-of-state nurse than they would be to an in-state nurse. But if you could speak to that, Because I am hearing some concern from, even though your survey indicated it sounds like an overwhelming number of nurses supported, I have heard maybe from that smaller percentage, and I think they have some of those concerns. So if you could speak to that, that would be helpful.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, great questions. And I don't want to leave the impression that there are no out-of-state nurses in Alaska right now. And in fact, that 22% of non-renewing nurses, at least those who have not yet renewed, they very well could be all of the out-of-state nurses that just came, that have been working here and don't intend to renew their Alaska license. Out-of-state nurses provide provide a bulk of employment in the state right now, and they always have. We licensed whoever meets the criteria that's set in law and regulation, and so their residency is not a factor in their employment. So what this bill would do is to make it to reduce some of the government barriers to hospitals and clinics being able to bring in the nurses that they're already bringing in. They would just be able to do that with less expense and less government paperwork and hoops. They wouldn't have to come through our office. They could just get to work. And so that's good for healthcare in Alaska. These are nurses who are going to come to Alaska one way or another. It's not a recruitment to suddenly, you know, pull a lot of nurses up from other states. It just makes, it reduces government barriers if someone wants to come and work in Alaska.
And before we do that, we're going to go to Senator Reinbold and then back to Senator Hughes.
Okay, and we're basically been saying the same thing in regards to the impact to Alaska nurses, and not only the RNs, but the nurse practitioners, the RNs, the assistant nurses, medical assistants. So I guess, Mr. Chairman, what I would ask, and I don't know if Julie is still online, Commissioner Anderson, she's not online anymore.
I'm listening.
Okay, so I guess what I would officially like to request is the unemployment numbers for people in the medical profession, in particular nurses, so all of those right now, and also a changes in the licensure from 2019 to 2020 in particular, because COVID has changed the landscape tremendously. So using the 2019 numbers is, you know, something I just causes me a little bit pause. I would prefer to use 2020 because there's a lot of change that has happened. So before we do anything, and I completely, her and I are both keep saying the same thing in regards to the impact to Alaskan and Alaska workers, because with over 40,000 unemployment right now, that's got me, you know, pretty concerned. All right, so thank you. So I don't know how to officially do that.
You did.
Okay, so who's going to provide it, I guess?
Director Chambers, would you be able to help the committee with that request in terms of getting some of the numbers of the licensure for 2020, if you have that data?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do maintain all of the licensing data, and then we can work with the Department of Labor or the Department of Health and Social Services or even ASHNA or private entities to see if we can locate the nursing sector employment and unemployment numbers. That isn't something, again, that we maintain, but we will strive to be responsive to the committee's request and get that.
Thank you so much. Senator Hughes, and then we'll take invited testimony.
And actually, I think you discussed the bill nicely, Director Chambers, after my question, but you really didn't answer it. So what I would suggest is that you go back and listen to a recording of what my question was, and then perhaps provide it in writing, because I would like to know what's happened in states that have had shortages, and you know, whether that's going to fill all the vacancies and make it tough for our in-state nursing graduates, as well as nurses in our state for those positions, and just understand how this could impact, if we were to do this, our in-state nurses. So that was my question, and part of why I'd like it in writing, because you also mentioned that the bulk of our nurses are out of state, and I didn't know if you meant bulk of nurses being picked up to fill these vacancies are from out of states, or at any one point in time, if you were to look at nurses working across the state of Alaska, are more of them from out of state than in state? I was confused by that.
the Chair, Senator Hughes, I'll be glad to follow up in writing with answers to those questions.
Yes, thank you. If you can give them to the committee and we could distribute them to committee members, it would be wonderful. At this time, we'll go to some of the folks that are invited testimony. If you guys can take a couple of minutes, 2 to 5, to give your testimony. First, we'll go to the Chair of the Alaska Nursing Board. If you could state your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Danette Schlater. I'm the current chair of the Alaska Board of Nursing. I represent our 7-member board today. The mission of the Alaska Board of Nursing is to actively promote and protect the health of the citizens of Alaska through safe and effective practice of nursing as defined by law. Our mission is supported by the American Nurses Association Code of Ethics, which identifies our profession's non-negotiable ethical standards. Whereas our mission points to the protection of the citizens, the board is also committed to support the art and science of nursing and the advancement of our profession. One of the duties of the Board of Nursing is licensing. It is a common belief that only the best nurses get an Alaska license. In reality, a license of any type is awarded to someone who meets the minimum qualifications as established by law. In nursing, licenses are issued to nurses with over 50 years of experience and new graduates with zero experience. All nurses graduate from accredited nursing programs and sit for the exact same national licensing examination. Licensing and competency are not synonymous. As Director Chambers pointed out, the licensing requirements under the NLC are stricter than our current requirements, and only nurses with unrestricted license qualify for a multi-state license. In August 2019, the Alaska Board of Nursing voted to support the Nurse License Compact. We did so after listening to nurses and employers. We also examined the current evidence-based literature and nursing practice trends in Alaska and across the nation. We also considered the experiences of the other state boards of nursing who have enacted the compact. Whereas the previous version of the NLC may not have been a good fit for Alaska, the current version with its uniform licensing requirements is a good fit. The federal government projects more than 200,000 new nurse positions will be created in the years 2016 through 2026. And you've already gotten information about the current nurse vacancy rate in Alaska. The need for nurses will continue to grow. Nationally, about 33% of nurses engage in telehealth activities across state line, and that number is increasing. When the board reached out to Alaska licensees to ask for their input on joining the NLC, we met a nurse who holds 17 different single state licenses just to do her job. Having multiple licenses does not make her a better nurse. Having multiple licenses adds an unnecessary barrier to nursing practice. The Nurse License Compact was first heard by this committee in February 2020. At that time, no one could have predicted the events that would unfold or the increasing need for licensed nurses. In response to COVID-19, the Board of Nursing issued emergency regulations for the courtesy license. That emergency regulation allowed courtesy license to be issued to any nurse with an unencumbered nursing license in any state. Even though we issued over 300 or almost 400 types of these licenses, it was not enough to meet the ongoing need. Nurses have a choice of where they want to work, whether it's a permanent move or a temporary assignment. Nurses are drawn to states in the NLC because they can immediately practice nursing without delay or cost. Nurses have been at the front line of this pandemic. Many work 12-hour shifts in full protective equipment, caring for some of the sickest patients seen in our careers. They are asked to work extra shifts every day to cover an increasing census acuity, and for a nurse who is herself in quarantine for testing positive or a significant exposure. These nurses use innovation to care for patients. It ranged from devising ways to prone a patient on a ventilator to optimize their respiratory status or finding ways for patients to help connect with family. We have all seen the images of these nurses in the media. The pandemic has shown the skill, compassion, and resiliency of these amazing nurses. In February 2021, the board unanimously reaffirmed its complete support of the NLC. I'm here to represent the collective voice of the Alaska Board of Nursing. We ask for your support of the Nurse License Compact Bill. This bill will help the mobility of our profession, simplify the licensing process, and help healthcare move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your invited testimony. Next, we'll go on to Tammy with the Department of Defense. Ms. Perrott.
Chair Wilson and members of the committee, my name is, for the record, my name is Tammy Perrott, and I serve as the Northwest Regional Liaison for the Defense State Liaison Office, operating under the direction of the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness. Our mission is to be a resource for state policymakers as we work to address quality of life issues to service members and their families. In addition to being staff for the Pentagon, I'm also a combat veteran and military spouse, so I speak passionately about this subject. On behalf of military families and the Department of Defense, I'm providing testimony in support of SB 67, the Multi-State Nurse Licensure Compact. One of the department's current quality of life key issues that you have heard about is working to help enact interstate compacts to improve licensure options for our military spouses, our veterans, and our service members. Easing licensure transition is especially important for our military spouses, as 68% of our service members reported that their spouse's ability to maintain a career impacts their decision to remain in the military. Our office works closely with the National Center for Interstate Compacts, part of the Council of State Governments, to support 8 occupational licensure compacts. These compacts, such as the Nurse Licensure Compact, are especially beneficial for the 53% of our military spouses that work in the healthcare professions. The DOD has partnered with the National Council of State Board of Nursing to support the Nurse Licensure Compact, which allows military spouses to use their state of legal residence as their home state for privilege to practice. In addition to benefiting military spouses who are stationed in Alaska, joining the Nurse Licensure Compact is a benefit to those military spouses who hold Alaska residency. By joining the compact, Alaska spouses have the benefit to practice in 34 other states and, as you've heard, the territory of Guam when stationed away from their home state of residence. This allows military spouses from Alaska a more seamless path to maintaining their careers when they are changing duty stations and then returning to Alaska. Service members would also benefit from the Nurse Licensure Compact. Many service members maintain a multi-state license, allowing them to work in a federal facility. However, they are not able to conduct training, seamlessly support emergencies, or provide additional hours of service to maintain their skills in a non-federal facility. By joining the Nurse Licensure Compact, the state of Alaska would benefit from military members being available to train and provide care in their communities. The percentage of military spouses in Alaska is the second highest in the nation, with nearly 8,000 active duty spouses. 34% of those spouses in the workforce are in licensed occupations, and when surveyed, 70% of military spouses who hold an occupational license have encountered challenges maintaining it. Senate Bill 67 is a tremendous step forward for the state to ease the burden of licensure for our military spouses, military members, and veterans. We appreciate your consideration of this and similar policies which would support easing this burden. In closing, we are especially grateful to the governor for requesting this legislation. Thank you for your consideration of this important policy. I stand for your questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony today. Next, we'll go back to Rose Lawhorn, Chief Nursing Officer of Bartlett Medical Hospital and ASHNA representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Rose Lawhorn, and I am the Chief Nursing Officer at Bartlett and the Operations Section Chief for our COVID response, and I do represent ASHNA and Bartlett Regional Hospital, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the committee in support of the Nursing Licensure Compact legislation. Healthcare facilities in Alaska, particularly in remote or isolated locations, would greatly benefit from our joining the NLC. Bartlett is a small community hospital with limited resources, and we experience staffing challenges. Alaska's remote location presents difficulty in recruitment. Pre-pandemic, healthcare burnout was a very real challenge related to the nature of the work, the intensity, and safety issues posed by increasing behavioral health challenges experienced by patients presenting for care. Currently, our nursing staff is experienced post-pandemic burnout. Nurses have maintained a state of readiness, navigating changing requirements for the delivery of care, remaining up to date on an evolving science, and experiencing personal impacts from COVID. We currently have 10 open nursing positions at Bartlett. The cost of filling these with travelers is double that of permanent nurses, and their contract typically extends for 13 weeks. Much time and effort for 13 weeks of nursing care. Bartlett hired 12 travelers last year when volumes were down due to restrictions on elective procedures and care and the hesitation of patients to seek medical care. In the 2 years prior, we hired 20 travelers per year. Cumbersome licensure processes reduces our ability to provide uninterrupted care to patients without overloading existing staff. Exhausted staff trying to fill staffing gaps leads to reduction in quality of care, increased errors, susceptibility to illness, and creates additional vacancies. Patient flow, safety, and hospital capacity is negatively impacted with typical licensure processing time that requires weeks. Temporary licensing does not eliminate screening delays and adds duplicative costs and processes. Provisional licenses do help, but they don't address all issues referenced. Maintaining multiple licenses is costly, and it's a deterrent for nurses selecting work destinations. Specialty areas such as the operating room, recovery unit, and infusion therapy experience additional recruitment challenges related to certification requirements. Of course, during disasters and disease outbreaks like COVID-19 or influenza surges we've experienced in previous years, rapid mobilizations of qualified nursing staff is essential for continuity of operations. Our licensure system should facilitate shared resources however we can. The NLC will help fill existing gaps in nursing resources and could serve as a recruitment tool. It's not uncommon for nurses to come to Juneau temporarily and decide to stay as permanent residents, keeping dollars in Alaska that could otherwise filter out to contract workers. In the growing world of telemedicine, licensure compacts facilitate effective and efficient use of nursing resources. The NLC promotes interstate educational opportunities in hospitals who wish to collaborate but don't due to licensure restrictions. We expect increasing demand for nurses in coming years. The nursing workforce deficit will grow and jeopardize patient care unless we act now to draw nurses to Alaska. The Nursing Licensure Compact supports healthy workforce and offers a broad resource pool for recruitment and selection of nurses. At Bartlett Regional Hospital, we work diligently to fulfill our mission of delivering quality patient-centered care in a sustainable manner. Our next patient might be you, and I'm asking for your support of the Nursing Licensure Compact legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Rose? Thank you for your invited testimony today. And next we have Brian Norton from Phineas Kidney Care.
Thank you, Chair Senator Wilson and Senate Health and Social Services Committee members. My name is Brian Norton, and I am a registered nurse and the manager of Cook Inlet Dialysis for Fresenius Kidney Care in Anchorage, Alaska. Fresenius Kidney Care serves 330 patients in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, Soldotna, and Wasilla, and we do request your support for Senate Bill 67. Dialysis nursing is a very specialized field. Because we are a large company, we rely on the ability to bring dialysis-trained nurses in from other states in times of need. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have strict requirements of registered nurses in the dialysis setting that make it difficult to use nurses that do not have experience to fill in during these times of shortage. If nurses give 2 weeks notice when they are leaving, a clinic can go from stable staffing to instability very quickly. We currently have 10 openings for permanent RN positions, and it takes an average of about 75 days for us to fill them. According to a study on nursing shortages, by 2030, Alaska will be the state with the highest percentage of nursing openings at 23%. During COVID-19, the Board of Nursing put in place emergency temporary license, and 12 Fresenius dialysis nurses used this license to help us during COVID. For dialysis patients, For dialysis patients, interruptions and delays in treatment schedules are more than just an inconvenience. It's critical. It's vital that we have permanent way for our dialysis nurses to come from other states immediately during any type of future disaster. The compact has a history of working well. In 2018, the original 26 states passed the Enhanced Nursing Licensure Compact, demonstrating the success of the compact and their desire to continue to be a part of it. Additional states have joined. In 2020, the Pennsylvania State Nurses Association surveyed 15 compact states and found that concerns such as lost revenue to state boards of nursing and public safety concerns had not materialized. They changed their position from opposing legislation to supporting it. Thank you for allowing me to testify today, and for these reasons, we ask you to support the Nursing Licensure Compact.
Thank you, Mr. Norton. I think we do have a question from Senator Baggage.
Thank you. Brian, if you could, I met with some of your staff last year, and you, your staff talked about your company's efforts to help develop local workforce as well. And would you mind just saying a word or two about what you've done locally? I know that you need the compact to get the number that you're looking for, but you've also done some work with our local nurses. Would you mind just highlighting that experience for the members of the committee?
So, I'm sorry, could you repeat again?
Last year when I met with your staff, they talked about their efforts to work with our local nursing community to help develop our kidney and dialysis-based workforce, nurse workforce. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say something about that if you wanted to.
Absolutely. We do work frequently in the community trying to promote better ways of improving patients who are receiving dialysis and kidney care. We do work closely with a lot of the resources within the community, and we do engage nurses in other facilities to make sure we coordinate care.
All right. Thank you, Brian, for your invited testimony today. We have a Rebecca from the National Council of State Boards Nursing. I have you on for questions. Did not know if you had were part of the invited testimony or wanted to say a few words for a minute or so.
Hi, everyone. This is Rebecca Fox from NCSBN, and I just called in really to answer any of the kind of technical questions of the compact, as well as if any of the members of the committee had any kind of questions of how the compact's been operating on a national level or any kind of national questions, I'm here to answer those.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your availability today. There are no questions at this time. This time, if we can go back to Director Chambers, I do have a question for her. Director, are you online with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Director Chambers, seeing that the compact, if there are changes, it has to be approved by the legislature. Do you expect any changes of the compact that would need emergent action from the legislature that would possibly hinder participation in the compact for our state?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not entirely sure that I understand your question. Are you asking whether if there is an emergent need to change the terms of multi-state licensure, whether the legislature could do that?
Maybe this is a question for Rebecca in terms of have there ever been a change of a compact? So all the states would have to change sort of their compact or the terms of agreement. Do you feel if a state had a change of their licensure requirement and all the, 20 states changed their compact, would Alaska also need to change the compact agreement in order for our Alaska licensees to practice in that state? Has any action of that nature taken place in the past years of having the nurses compact in the lower 48?
Mr. Chairman, this is Director Chambers, and my understanding of the compact, and Rebecca may want to pop in and provide a national perspective. My understanding is that if there is a change that has to happen to that Section 23, AS0869 proposed, that all of the states would have to ratify the same type of change. Again, that would only be for the multi-state license and would not be would not affect any changes to our state license. Would not require that type of a change, but that might be something I could hand off to Ms. Fotch with NTSBN.
And yes, Ms. Fotch, are you back with us?
Yes. Hi. Yeah. So that instance has happened once, and when that did happen, all of the states of the compact came together because they needed. They knew they needed to make a change to the language since they did not have every state in the compact. So that old compact that I think Sarah had referenced, or Director Chambers, that compact was in existence for about 15 years and had 25 members. But that old NLC compact, an old language, it stalled at 25 members. So the NLC states came together and said, what do we need to do to change this so that we can get all of the states to be members, and that's why you've heard about the changes to the legislation that has made it more amenable for more states to join in. That's how that came about. All of the compact states had to agree to it. So, you know, I mean, I certainly hope that this is not changed anywhere and anytime soon. I think it's possible that in 50 years, it's hard to even imagine, you know, how the healthcare and nursing world can change that might happen, but absolutely the intent of compact states is not to have to do that, and that's why this redraft of the language took all the states' concerns into consideration when they did that redraft.
All right, thank you. Senator Casello.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know we have exactly 1 minute, and then this room is going to another committee, but I appreciate all the individuals who were online to answer questions. My question has to do with something that's important to me, which is that we grow our own here in Alaska. We put considerable resources and effort behind growing our own engineers, and also we want to grow our own teachers, and of course we want to grow our own nurses. And I've been very pleased to observe some of the graduating ceremonies from our nursing program in Anchorage, and I was very touched by the compassion and also the commitment of the Alaskans who've gone through that program. If the multi-state compact license is more stringent than the state license requirements, and this is something that gives individuals more flexibility, and it's being touted as kind of the wave of the future, my question is, will that license be valued more than an Alaska license for somebody who just holds the Alaska license? And is there a concern that we would be displacing lifelong Alaskans or Alaskans who are committed to staying here and living here with nurses that are from outside the state?
Through the chair, this is Director Sarah Chambers again. Senator Costello, the intent behind the license is to just provide more flexibility and mobility for nurses to meet those healthcare needs. And one of the constituency groups that we've talked to over the last year and a half or so are those graduating nurses who are leaving Alaska because we don't have the compact. They would like to pay for one license and be able to have flexibility to travel. And right now they pay for their license in Alaska and they have to stay in Alaska. Or they just go ahead and look for a job outside in a multi-state compact state. And so we are actually responding to the desire of these graduating nurses to be able to have that flexibility. They're young. They want to go try out different things. The question about whether a multi-state license would be more valuable than Alaska license, that's an interesting question, and I suppose that would be a question for each individual employer. There is no change or better or worse in what a registered nurse or a licensed practical nurse could do
with a multi-state license over what they could do with an Alaska license, because it's the Alaska Practice Act that's already existing in AS 0868 that governs the practice of nursing. So they would have to have those specialties. They would have to have that background and training that Ms. Lawthorne was mentioning, and their scope of practice would be the same as an Alaska nurse. So we're really trying to retain Alaska homegrown nurses and make sure that they don't want to leave Alaska by adding this more attractive tool in their toolbox.
Thank you, Director Chambers. Well, that concludes our business for today. Just want to remind folks that we will take public testimony on Senate Bill 67 on Thursday. If those members of the public would like to also submit a written comment to the committee, they can do so by email at shss@akledge.gov. Are there any other closing comments from committee members? Seeing none, we are adjourned at 3:03 p.m.